I greet you this morning by the mercies of God, and you're welcome to the Rock Audio Series. And we're going to Series 7 by the grace of God. Please do well to listen over and over. These things will establish you in the Christian faith. Everlasting Father, we thank you for the Rock Audio Series. Thank you for your sending us. It's like a morning dew upon our soul to establish us, to equip us so that we can stand firm in the truth and stand firm in the faith. I pray everyone listening will be greatly helped in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The demonstration that you are serious in your walk with God is that you are listening to the Rock Audio Series over and over again. Young man, if you are not doing this, don't tell me you are still struggling with sin. There are countless people that God has delivered since they accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior on their way to heaven. Look, are you passionate about heaven? Are you passionate about the day where you shall stand before the Lord God of glory and you shall say to him, everything you did for me I maximized? Or you are still going to be struggling with one useless lifestyle, immorality, guilty conscience here and there? Your life is not looking good, but the day you said yes to Jesus, hallelujah, God began to do a work in you, and he wants to plant you on the solid ground and upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus. So we're going to move to series 7. We have gone through salvation, Christian living as victory over the flesh and living above the world, the life of faith 1 and 2, and now we are on baptism. You need to understand, but there are two types of baptism in the Bible, with physical and spiritual representation. Though basically it's all spiritual representation, but with some physical connotation. So now that's what I wanted to say. It has physical connotation and spiritual representation. Now we have water baptism and we have Holy Ghost baptism. Those are the two baptism in the Bible. The word baptism. Now let's first look at it from Mark chapter 16, or even Matthew. You can reference it from the book of Matthew, and you can reference it from the book of Mark. I think I like that Mark. That's the first scripture I ever knew in my life. And it's still amazing that that is the scripture. It turns me on, and my heart is still drawn to it. You see, in Mark chapter 16, I remember that I got a prize even by it. Mark chapter 16 from verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, Mark verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So the Lord attached baptism with believing in Mark 16:16. Now, there are instances where somebody is not able to be baptized in water because he's near death. But yet, Mark 16:16 attached baptism with believing. Anyone that believes should be baptized. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So it is believing that leads to baptism. It's not baptism that leads to believing. Understand? It's not church doctrine. Have you done your water baptism? I've not done. Go and do. That's not it. You don't get baptized because it's a church criteria to become a member. It's not a criteria to become a worker or to be a witness or to no. It is a criteria for you to get to heaven. And then you first believe, and take note of Mark 16:16, he that believeth, that means he that continues to believe. I like that word believeth because we need to understand. They can say he that believe, he that has believed. No. They didn't say like that. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, baptism, take note that he that believeth, continuous tense, and is baptized, it is just past tense. Because he was reporting, because the next word is shall be. What mark your salvation is believing and baptism. That's what you see in your Bible. Now, but what is the strongest on salvation? Believing. Now, what if you are not baptized in water? Will you get to heaven? Yes. Yes to who that is near death experience, like the thief on the cross, who said today, what Jesus told, today you shall meet me in paradise. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said today. And then did he go through water baptism? No. That's why we said baptism has a physical connotation and a spiritual representation. So understand, if you don't understand the two, there will be instances you say, but this one was not baptized. The first person that enjoyed the dividends of salvation did not enter water. And that's the thief on the cross. You see, that was with Jesus. He didn't enter water, but he got to paradise. Now understand this. But what is the point when we now say baptism? Now look at Matthew chapter 16. You need this because, no, sorry, Matthew chapter number 28. And then let's look at it from verse 18. Now, we saw that in Mark, and now we're going to see it again in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing. Did you see that? So if baptizing was not necessary, he would not repeat it here again. And you see, the thief on the cross is by mercy, and that he was near death. Nobody, he doesn't need to come down, get baptized. No, God is not a tyrant. There is a symbolic meaning of baptism. There is a spiritual representation, I mean, of baptism, and there's a physical connotation. But the one that is not yet on the cross, and the one that is not near death experience, the Bible says, once you teach all nations, you must baptize them. And the word baptism is from the word baptizo, which means immerse, fully put into. Now, listen to this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? You are supposed to be baptized into. Now, take note of Matthew 28. They didn't say baptize them inside water. They say baptize them in the name. You are to put them in Trinity. So baptism is a union. The physical entering of water connotes a spiritual connection and union with Trinity. I use the word Trinity because that's what we understand. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? That anytime you see a man baptized into water, they have immersed. Now, take note of the word baptism means immerse. Let me give an example. If I put a biro inside a book and I close that book, I have baptized that biro with the book. Did you see that? What I'm saying? If I put a biro inside a book, I have baptized that biro inside the book. I have immersed. Did you see? So if you baptize that biro inside that book, that's a symbolic meaning of burial. Did you see that? That's why Romans 6 could say, anyone who had believed in Christ is buried, baptized into him. You see, because if God wants to do a work of redemption, in fact, not if God wants to do, the work of redemption that God did with us was to baptize us into Christ, immerse us into Christ. That's why you must now do a practical symbolic representation by going for water baptism. Why do we call it water baptism? It was John that began it. John was the forerunner of Jesus. John was the last prophet of the Old Testament. John is greater than every prophet in the Old Testament. Jesus himself said it. If you go through Matthew chapter 11, you will see it there, that Jesus clearly said, of all the people that were born, none is greater than John. Albeit, anyone who now enter into the kingdom through Christ will be greater than all in the Old Testament. So that's why sometimes I'm wondering, we that they say will be greater than all in the Old Testament. You see the way our lives is. You see, there's something missing in us. May the Lord help us to grow, to find it out in the name of Jesus. So he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. And that was what? The physical representation of that is water baptism that John started. So everyone that came to John, even Jesus Christ was baptized. So is it you that were not baptized? Jesus Christ, your Lord and Master, identified with us in burial and resurrection. And you see, water baptism was a symbolic representation that Jesus will die and Jesus will rise again. Because you are immersed in water and then you are brought out. Now, but some people, they are sinners. They go to the water, they put them inside water, and when they come out, nothing has changed. There's no new thing. They only come out as wet sinners. They go in dry, they come out wet, but their nature remains the same. That's why the Bible says you have to believe to be baptized. You have to, and the sign of believing is to cling to, is to rely on, is to trust in the Lord, and that you hate sin with all your passion. That is the sign. So understand this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, he said, John indeed baptized you with water, but there is one that is coming. I indeed baptize you with water, but there is one that is coming, who shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, take note of this. Jesus Christ commanded us to do water baptism. Jesus told us to do water baptism. And Jesus himself did water baptism, but Jesus primarily, we never saw him baptizing people inside water. Please take note of this, because his work was also baptism, but a type of baptism. John already did water baptism. Jesus was going to do Holy Ghost baptism. The two is still baptism. Understand this. When Jesus Christ was not living, he now told his own disciples, you do water baptism. It's water baptism. And then we saw the practice in the church that everyone that did baptism was the baptism of water, not the baptism of sprinkling. But see, listen to this. We don't need to be arguing about, is it river? Is it baptistry? Is it sprinkling? Please take note of this. Don't argue with content. Don't let people confuse you. I say, well, it has to be fully immersion. It is half immersion. Excuse me. It is first believing. When you believe and they say, we baptize you and they pour water on you. I remember there was a time I wanted to enter a drum because nobody was ready to do water baptism for me. Or maybe when I saw this importance of baptism, I said, I'm not yet baptized. I remember I said, maybe I should put my head inside water and maybe enter a drum or something and then get baptized. Those were funny, funny moments. But when I began to see that Jesus would have me baptized, baptism is not a suggestion, it's a commandment. But listen to me, don't just get baptized. The point is, today I'll be dealing with water baptism. Tomorrow I'll be dealing with Holy Ghost baptism. But I hope we can... All right, we still have a place for the understanding on the Holy Spirit, because many people get baptized in the Holy Ghost, talk in tongues, but they are sinners. That's not the purpose. That's why they say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The first requirement is water baptism. And see, we saw the Lord in the case of Cornelius. He broke that process. We saw him by the grace of God, got the Holy Ghost baptism before water baptism, because the first criteria was that he believed. So when you believe, Holy Ghost baptism can come before water baptism. It's possible. But the Bible talked about when you believe, you get baptized. On the day of Pentecost, the first message that Peter preached in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, how did he close that message? But Peter closed that message by saying that, look, every one of you should repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. That was the teaching, you know, of Brother Paul. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, believing, were baptized. Did you see the process? They that gladly received his word, that's believing, were baptized. And the same day, they were added. You see, when you believe and you get baptized, you are added to the number of the saints. And listen to me, you can't believe and be baptized and you go to dance whiskey. No, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And anytime you hear remissions of sins, you are dealing with John's water baptism. Because that was the symbolic representation of that baptism. Remission of sins. Brother Paul taught it through the Holy Ghost. Brother Peter taught it through the Holy Ghost. Even Brother Paul taught it also. Apostle Peter taught it through the Holy Ghost in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2. Then Peter said, Acts 2:38, please mark it. Then Peter said unto them, repent. There has to be repentance before baptism. And you cannot repent until you believe. Brother, have you repented of your sins? Don't go to water baptism and you are still masturbating. No, please. You see, what is repentance? Repentance is not that I have stopped masturbating. Repentance is that I have decided to follow Jesus. Now, I have not yet received enough light, but there is now an hatred in me for sin. I hate this life. That's the sign that you have believed and repented. You see, when you still love sin and you find yourself that I have done it, that's the way I am. You are a sinner. And you love sin. Oh, brother, I remember the day I wept because my heart was lusting after a lady. I wept. That's after I got born again. After this truth is visiting me, I wept. That's a sign that you have repented. When you cannot weep on your mistake, when you cannot, if you don't shed tears, but if your heart cannot be, I need to go and tell a Christian. I need to go and tell a Christian elder. When you want to hide it, you are wrong. And so Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. How many of you? You are still alive. You are not on the cross like a thief. You are still, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins. That's what John's kind of baptism. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Did you see the progression? You repent, you get baptized, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, God can change this process, but something will not change. The repenting, the believing will not change. But the Holy Ghost baptism can come first and then later on. We saw Brother Paul also, he taught the same thing. Water baptism is so important. And listen, when they were baptized in verse 41, Acts 2:41, then they that gladly receive. Have you received the word of God? Yes. Did you receive it gladly, acceptably, joyfully, and say, this is the scripture, this is the word of God, I will follow that. That's why after you repent of your sins, when you are repenting of your sins, there's that sorrow, how bad you are, how terrible your life is, you weep. After you weep, the next thing you notice is gladness, because freedom brings gladness. You see, when you are not glad, I am wondering what you had. The Bible says it's glad tidings. You see, there's something about this glad tidings. Repentance will make you, it brings godly sorrow. You look at how bad your past was, and then you look at the joy that Jesus was going to forgive you all your sins. You look at the beauty that now every of your past is past. Every consequence of your sin, none will be placed upon you. That brings you gladness and say, so when I get to heaven now, they will give me the crown of life, you know, that kind of thing. When you understand that right now I'll be clothed with the righteousness of Christ, right now I will be the righteousness of Jesus, God will not look at me with my past, he will look at me with what Jesus did. You gladly receive his word. I won't go back into sin. No, forget this Nollywood nonsense. I'm not going back into it. Lord, I receive grace. Lord, I receive. You see, that kind of thing, that gladly receiving of the word, you go to water baptism. Somebody said, but I have done water baptism before I got born again. You see, you didn't do water baptism, because you have to believe before you get baptized. I did baptism twice. Yes, I did the first one in my former church. I didn't believe anything. I was a sinner. I fear God, but I was a sinner. So by the time I left that church and I began to understand, I said, which kind of baptism is that? They took me to a river. They got me baptized. I had to go to another church and then join their. I was living with some people at that time, my disciple at that time, and I had to be baptized in their church. So I went forward and they did all the normal whatever, and I got baptized. It was when I got baptized, I said, hey, I have fulfilled the condition that Jesus said. Now take note of this. He that is not believing cannot be baptized. If you get baptized, it's like going to a bathroom to just go and pour water on yourself. So you didn't do anything. Water baptism is the physical connotation that you have said bye-bye to the world, because baptism connotes burial. That's where we're going to end. Baptism connotes burial. You are buried. You are buried, brother. They say, so he who is buried has said bye-bye to the world. That's what, if you see a man that has just died now and they bury him, that man has said bye-bye to the world. So when you are buried, it's bye-bye. So water baptism is the physical connotation that you have been buried with Christ, and a spiritual representation that you have belonged to him. Did you see that now? Burial mark your marriage. It's like the wedding ring and the marriage register. That look, you know, before you were in courtship, now that they take you to the altar and they give you the ring and you sign the register in your church, you are simply telling everybody that it's already signed. I have left everybody to stay unto this man. I have left everybody to stay with this woman. Every other friend, please don't text me again. Please don't call me again. When you are married to Christ, the mark that secure your union is called water baptism. And water baptism, if it's not seen with a spiritual understanding, you will just waste your time. Collect form. You change names. Some people change their name from Kemi to Rhoda, or from Shaliwa to Esther. They call it baptismal name. All of that is not. You see, the reason why the church started using baptismal name is to let you know that now you have a new life. You know, in those days when people bear Oshun Tony, Oshun Kemi, and all of that, and then when they come to Christ, they began to bear Johnson, James, John. You see that kind of thing. So that the baptism connotes that they are now married, so a change of identity, a change of lifestyle. Did you get the understanding of change of name in water baptism? He said, what's your baptismal name? Baptismal name connotes the kind of life you are now supposed to live, because now you identify with Christ. Now, you see that water baptism has a physical connotation to the devil. Two people receive the representation of water baptism, God and the devil. The devil knows that by water baptism, you have been buried, and so you are separate from the world, because that's burial. And to God, God says that I have now accepted you into myself, because water baptism connotes the burial with Christ. So understand that if you believe, you must be baptized. If you have not been baptized, go and register now for water baptism. It's very important, because the Bible says every one of you, Acts 2:38, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. You have to do this, because that's the requirement. And I tell you, what the joy of water baptism, what the joy of seeing that I was buried eternally. I am separated from the world and I'm now secured with Christ. This is beautiful. But beyond that, understand that what happened on the cross is the baptism. Is the real baptism. The real baptism of we were put in Christ, and he was judged on our behalf, and he died and was buried. That was where our spiritual baptism took place, and that's Romans 6, and that is the one God looks at. That's why people like the thief can escape to paradise, because immediately he acknowledged that cross, that it was not as people saw it, but that there's a reason why this man is on this cross. The Lord gave him the opportunity. Have you seen the cross? Do you see your baptism on the cross? Do you see your total, the condemnation of the old man on the cross? Did you see the destruction of the devil on the cross? Have you seen yourself immersed in Christ? Let me tell you this. This was what delivered me from sin. I just discovered that, look, he has immersed me into himself. He has I've been buried with him. So I went to water baptism. What a joy. What a joy. What a joy today that I'm saved and I'm born again. What a joy that I've gone through water baptism and I have marked the connotation to the devil and to the world and to whiskey, to Lamide, to Bado, to all kinds of things, to Nollywood that I've been buried. I have told Nollywood that I'm buried and I've gone for water baptism. Hallelujah. Have you done that? If you still love the world, you will just enter the water. It's as the same as entering a swimming pool. You did not do anything. The Lord help us. Can we pray? Dear Father, thank you for the teachings of this morning. Thank you for everything you are doing with our lives. And thank you for every connotation of what this means. I pray that everyone will be greatly helped. Everyone will be changed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have made you too small in my eyes.